Hi, everyone. As David said, I'm Fabiana Simões. My talk is called How to Not Report Your UX Bug. And there are a couple of things about the title of this talk. The first one is that it's based on my master's thesis, so everything I'm going to talk about here is based on the research I did during my master's thesis. And the actual title of my thesis is a bit longer than How to Not Report Your UX Bug. It's something like supporting and user reporting of human-computer interaction issues in open source software. And Andrea said, this is not a quadic title. You need to do better than this. So then we ended up with How to Not Report Your UX Bug, even though I'm going to talk on not only about how not to do it, but also about how to do it based on what I've been looking into and what I've been talking with people in the community. So let me introduce myself. I'm Fabiana Simões. I got involved with the GNOME community last year. This is my second GWADEC. I was an outreach intern working with Alan in the UX project. So I did a redesign for the Cheese application. Right now I'm contributing to the web team and also to the marketing team, and I do a lot of work on this. And yeah, as I said, I did my master's thesis on how to support users in reporting UX bugs, on user interface bugs, user experience bugs that are actually helpful for designers, they're actually feasible for designers to work on. So what I did, summing up, I'm not going to go into a lot of the details of my research because I think that's going to be a bit boring. It's a lot of methodological stuff. So what I did four interviews with UX designers working in and free and open source projects from the Fedora and the GNOME project. And I also did an analysis of 547 bugs in the GNOME Bugzilla, only bugs tagged under usability and UI review. So basically what we could roughly filter as our usability and UX bugs. And yeah, based on that, I came up with a couple of findings about how our designers work with reports and how they tackle feedback, how they use it to work and iterate on designs and everything. And by analyzing a couple of bugs, I could understand a bit how we're doing UX bugs currently. And by comparing this to what designers told me, I can understand better what is the gap that we're dealing with between what we're doing and what we should do. So I'm going to start by telling you guys why should you care. Why should you care about reporting your UX bugs in, well, I mean, why should you actually bother about doing this? And there are two reasons that I would say it's really important for you to report bugs in a way that people can actually act upon this. I'd like to remind that I'm talking about UX bugs, so I'm tackling arguments that are specific to this kind of bug. And also, I'm calling this How to Not Report a UX Bug, but I think this is a talk much more not only about bugs and Bugzilla itself, but about feedback on UX and how you feel about the interfaces and the experience we have with interfaces. So the first reason is that a lot of what we report on Bugzilla and the feedback we post on Google Plus or Twitter or, you know, our blog posts, we use this for design evaluation, for iterating and evaluating how our designs are doing and how they are attending the user's needs and how our software is doing. Are we doing well? Is this actually attending the user's needs? Is it not? So we can iterate on the design and fix it so we can actually better serve our users. This is an KCD comic that I think it's a good example on why you should evaluate and be attentive and considerate about our users' needs and keep evaluating and being conscious about your design decisions. I think everybody that has been in university can relate to this, that university websites are pretty much useless. You can never find what you need, or if you can find, you have to make a small quest to find it. So I guess that's what happens. And that happens because there is a considerable gap between what the person that is actually conceiving a design and the person that is actually using the design this other person conceived. There is a gap there, and even though, of course, designs, they study a lot and they work a lot to make this gap as minimal as possible, there is always going to be this gap. And that's why it's really important for us to evaluate, so we can understand the ways in people they are using. I mean, you never know. When you do some usability testing or when you do whatever kind of evaluation, you never know. You're always surprised about how people appropriate themselves of technology, and the ways they use software are always like, oh, I never thought about using this software for doing this thing. And it's always amazing how unexpected things come to surface when you evaluate your designs with users. So about evaluation methods itself, I think that most people, when we talk about evaluating, they think about usability testing straight away. It's the first thing that pops into their mind. I think people are very, very passionate about usability testing. They really enjoy it, and it's like, the first thing that comes to mind. And it turns out that usability testing is not the only way to evaluate. And speaking about free and open source software and how we work and how we develop software and how we iterate and how we, how our release cycle is, actually, usability testing is not quite suitable for how we work. It takes a lot of time to plan, to execute, to analyze the data collected. And it turns out, as you all know, our release cycle is very, very short. So by the time we planned the usability testing in a previous version, say, I don't know, 3.8, we already released 3.10 and perhaps even 3.12. And so it's actually not very suitable for our needs. It tells us a lot about how the problems people face when you get to observe people and everything. But I think in terms of free and open source software, usability testing is much more useful when you to get our sense of how people work, to better know your users, because that's a problem we really have in open source, to know who we're dealing with, who are we producing software to. Another one that's quite popular is the heuristic evaluation. I think some people might have heard of it. And it's an evaluation technique that do not involve user participation. It's only the designer that more or less inspect the whole interface, having in mind some guidelines, and then try to identify possible pitfalls for users based on this. This is another popular one, but there's much, much more to evaluation methods for user interface design. There are three main categories of evaluation methods. The first one is investigation methods, which are methods that do involve participation of users, but they are more focused on finding out who the user is, what do they do, what are the mindsets, what are the tasks they need to do to accomplish, and this kind of thing. So it's more like a preliminary thing that you usually do. It involves like surveys, questionnaires, some kind of field work. So you go to where people work, where they do their tasks, and you just observe how they do stuff. There's also inspection methods. As I said, the heuristic evaluation is an inspection method. They usually do not involve participation from the user. They are basically performed by the designer himself, and he just put himself in the place of the user and try to think about what are the flaws in the design and what are the problems and all this kind of stuff. This is the thing we do a lot in our community in GNOME, and I guess in a bunch of other projects, especially because we have a really difficult time to find users and talk to them and figure out what's happening. And there's also observation methods, which are methods that are also, as the investigation methods, they also involve participation from users. But it involves people observing, as the name says, how people use software, how they are interacting with it, how they use it, how they appropriate themselves of the technology we offered. And what I want to propose here is that we think about bug reports as a tool for observation. So when I report a problem that I experienced, that I had, this is actually a way that designer can observe, to a large extent, the problems that I'm facing. And I think that's one of the main uses of bug reports from a design perspective. Another thing is to think about bug reports as a contribution. And would you contribute code that, for example, doesn't work at all? Would you contribute code that does not solve a problem that does not fix an issue? Or even worse, would you contribute code that only works for you? That, I mean, only you can see that that problem was fixed or something like that. Would anyone do this? Or to other extents, other areas of our project, would you write documentation that only you can understand? Or I don't know, would you design a software that only you can use? So it's the same thing as a contribution. Would you report a bug that no one can understand what you're talking about? Would you report a bug that only you know what you're talking about? So it's really important that we are able to communicate well, that we are able to establish the use bug reports as a bridge between our community and different parts of your community, as we do with any other kind of contributions we get in our community. So given having said why you guys should care about reporting your UX bugs, well, I'm going to start by telling you guys how to not do this. And I think, to begin with, the first one is a guy that a lot of you guys know, and that is a quote that all the designers I interviewed have mentioned in the exact same way. Do not do this. I think X should be Y. And they all phrased it exactly like this. There's a very different, it's very different when you say, I think something should be like something else, and when you say, well, I tried to do one thing, and then I was not able to do this thing, and this made me frustrated, or I lost a lot of time, and I expected to do this other way, and perhaps you can do this. So it's really a matter of differentiating problem and solution. Bug reports are of no use if you only offer a solution. So think about when you go to a doctor. Do you go to the doctor and you say, yeah, I have a flu. That's it. I need this and this medication. No, you go to the doctor and you say, oh, I'm not, maybe not feeling very well. I have fever. I have this and this pain, and I've been not feeling very well. Do you know what's happening to me and what kind of medication should I use? You don't go to the doctor and you say, this is the prescription. Just sign it here. Right? So this is the same thing with bug reports. I mean, it's much, much helpful when you state the problem that you're actually facing and not just observe the solution. And there's a lot of things that are also related to this. I mean, there is a number of reasons why it's really hard for designers to work on bug reports and feedback in general that only states a solution. Because, I mean, when you report, I mean, it's actually really nice that everyone wants to be a designer and everything, but sometimes people just not understand the underlying technology, what the problems we deal with, and there's a lot of restrictions sometimes in terms of the how the code is itself, or actually about their design vision that it's being taken by in general, I mean overall for the project. So there's a lot of information that sometimes people are lacking, and that actually makes a solution. So it's okay to propose a solution. Please don't think that I'm not saying do never observe a solution. I mean, this is how we work. We work together, and by any extent I want to, by giving these guidelines, exclude anyone from the discussions that take place. I think this is just a way so we can get a quick start on the reports and, like, skip a couple of questions, because if you do not observe your problem, what will happen is that the designer will come to you and say, okay, what is exactly the problem that you're having? Because, I mean, I cannot just add this button. Perhaps it's not the best solution. You know, I mean, perhaps something else will solve your problem better. And you really don't want to solve the problem that is not the problem that you have. So it's okay to propose a solution, as it's okay to submit a patch. But I mean, do anyone here just submit a bug with just a patch? Here's a patch. Apply it. I mean, that's not something we do. And then it's not something we should do with design bugs as well. So it's okay to propose a solution, but it should not be your main point. It should not only be about the solution that you think it's going to be appropriate for your problem. So I think this is the most important part of it. It's let others brainstorm with you. Let others think together with you. You state a problem and you let everyone brainstorm with you. Designers, developers, and everybody else that has also experience in this problem, they can see your bug report and can leave a note and say, yeah, I've been also having this problem with this and this other peculiar characteristic or anything. And then discuss the solution, and everybody can work on this together in a much, much more clear way, because you're not actually solving up, you're not giving users what they ask for, but actually what they need. Another one is, it sucks, which comes in several different forms. It's broken. It's another popular one. I don't like it. For whatever reason, I just don't like it. It doesn't work at all. It just doesn't. I don't really know what's broken, but yeah. It's difficult. And then the next two ones, they are kind of like this, they are like hidden. They pretend to be nice feedback, but they're actually not helpful at all. It's not intuitive. What even is intuitive? I mean, yeah, it's just not helpful. And it's not user-friendly. I hate that one. I mean, what does it even mean? I mean, this doesn't say anything. This kind of feedback, especially the last two, they pretend to be helpful. But they're not, because they don't observe, as I said before, the problem. They do not say, why is it broken? Why, in which way, it doesn't work for you? What exactly about this whole interface you don't like? So, I mean, it's very easy for us, especially when we're really upset with software, it's really easy for us to just, like, let the anger go. It sucks. You're such an incompetent bastard. But really, it's not helpful. And I mean, we want our problems to be solved, after all. I mean, we don't want to stick with terrible experiences and terrible interfaces forever. So explain why you have a certain problem. What is exactly the problem that you have? As I said, you don't want to solve a problem that is not the problem that you have. So if you just say it sucks, then I can start hypothesizing in which ways it sucks, and then I'll find a way it sucks for me and think, oh, it's probably how it sucks for him. So I'm just gonna solve this problem, and then in a month or something, this guy's gonna post again, it sucks. I'm using KDE or something like this. Yeah, I'm not using GNOME anymore. The aim of a bug report is to enable the programmer to see the program failing in front of them. This is true for a lot of code bugs. So you just describe what you did. You try to induce the programmer to reproduce that bug that you had so that he can see the program failing or crashing in front of them. But this is kind of tricky for UX bugs, because a lot of times the UX the experience problem or the usability problem is a really personal matter. It's really about how you felt about the interface. Oh, it took a lot of time. It was such a struggle. I could not use it. I felt really incompetent about it. So it's much harder to just give a designer a bug and expect him to reproduce it, to make the program fail, because the designer have a different experience. He has a different mindset. He has a different personality, and that he definitely react different to software. So describe the context. I've been helping with besides working with GNOME, I also contribute a bit to WordPress, and I've been helping them in the forums. And a lot of the work that they, sometimes the, in the forums, they just want to change, customize the website somehow. And it's a lot of CSS help, and then you just go and try a bug and find some CSS that works for them and solve their problem. And it's really helpful for me when people come and say, I don't know the first thing about CSS. I really don't know this thing, because it really gives me a starting point on how to talk to this user, how to solve the problem for them. And or also if the person says to me, like, oh, I don't know CSS, but I've been like reading on it, I've been trying to solve it, but it's been 5 days and I can't solve this. So I know this person doesn't know CSS, but he wants to know CSS. So I can help him in a different way. I usually try to explain to this user how to use Firebug, how to do certain things. So when you provide context, when you provide information on why you do certain things, who are you, how you react to certain stuff, it really helps people to address your problems, to help you, and to solve your bugs. The third one is most users. Most users would find this unintuitive. It combines two phrases in one. Or most users, I don't know, would want this button to be somewhere else. And I mean, did you actually talk to most users? Did you actually did a test in your neighborhood and you said, oh, okay, most users definitely don't like this in my neighborhood. And then it would be most users in your neighborhood, but not most users at all. So user experience, as I said, is really personal. So you should really talk about yourself, about how you feel, how this, because you're for a certain context, because of how you've been dealing with it. Why is it a problem for you, not for most users, because you're just assuming it's a problem for most users. And it turns out that several times, it's actually a very, very, very specific use case that only you have, so it's not most users. Perhaps if most users had this very, very, very specific use case, then it's another thing. Yeah, I don't know. But in general, yeah, UX is a fairly personal matter, so you should always say, I want, I feel, I wish, I struggle, I think. It's about you. You're experiencing that bug. So it's not the same thing with code. You cannot say it's precious for most users. You don't know. I mean, it's precious for you. You're using this machine. You're having this kind of application running and whatever. You have a certain context, a certain thing that only it's only pertinent for your experience. Number four, severity minor. And this is, I think, this is something I think we should review with the Bug Squad team. Hello, Andre. and think about this. Right now, our guideline is to tag our usability and usability bugs, not UX, as severity minor. And as we want to talk more about our experiences, I mean, usability problems usually are move something somewhere or like this is not consistent with something else or we should rename this button. And it's usually like the lack of absence of the presence or absence of a certain design characteristic, which I understand it's something minor. But I mean, are UX bugs all severity minor issues? If someone cannot figure out how to do something and they just are not able to do something, is this really a severity, a really minor issue? If someone does not understand what the system is telling them, if they cannot, they get this message, this dialogue, and they have no idea what to do and how to recover of a certain error, is this really a minor issue? If someone does not know how to continue a task or end a task, is this, again, a minor issue? If someone, even worse, if someone did something and they thought it was very successful and only later they realized it was not and they were like, yeah, it seemed to work, but it actually didn't. Is it really a minor issue? I mean, you've led the user to think he was able to accomplish something when he actually didn't. He was like, yeah, it seems fine to me, but it actually didn't. The user actually failed to accomplish what he was trying to do. Are those issues, and I'm asking this to all guys, minor issues, or is it like a blocker issue? A critical matter for that experience. I mean, if we're compromising the ability of the user to accomplish and do what he needs, is this really a minor issue? The user is not able to use the system to his needs. And then, well, yeah, as I said, I think this is something we should review as a community together. And perhaps we should think about better guidelines for UX bugs specifically, for experience bugs, because they can really compromise the whole experience and the whole use of software. There is nuisance severity ratings, and they have a different purpose. They are for so that the designer can tag problems, usability problems that he found after doing an usability testing or something or a heuristic evaluation, and then rate them and decide what bugs should be fixed first and this kind of thing. So it's not really something that the user or the reporter uses, but it's a start, I guess. So the scale is more like 0, I don't agree this is a problem. 2, it's a cosmetic problem. 3, it's a minor issue. 4, it's a major issue. And 5, it's a usability catastrophe. It really compromises the whole thing. So now I'm going to talk about how to do it. And after my research, after talking with the designers I interviewed, I came up with a list of 6 information types that it would be really helpful if reports could include most of them. So I'm phrasing them as questions. And they are, what were you trying to do? Why did you want to do it? What did you do? What exactly did you do during the interaction? What happened? What were your expectations? And what are you running? And again, I interviewed designers working with open source, free and open source projects. So this is really pertinent for this domain, not for in general reporting usability guidelines or whatever. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each of these questions. And the first thing is, what were you trying to do? Which is also associated a bit with the problem. So state, what is it that you're actually trying to do? What was your main goal when you started this interaction? Oh, I wanted to print a file. It's much more helpful to say I wanted to print a file than just say, like, insert this checkbox somewhere that gives me an option to do something related to printing or something like that. So those are some quotes that I got from the designers that I interviewed. And yeah, we tried to get more information about what is it that they were trying to do, because that has to be the drive of the solution. This has to be what guides the solution. You don't want to solve the problem that is not the problem that you have, as I've said many times. Why did you want to do it? And yeah, this is a tricky question. And it's not something that will be always pertinent or it will not always apply to your bug. Sometimes it doesn't really make sense. But it's a question related to the context. What motivates you to want to do certain action? And then this quote says, context information is really valuable to me. It helps me understand the motivation behind a request or a certain problem. So there was an example that was someone was using a chat application and they wanted their contacts smaller. And why would you want your contacts smaller? Why is the reason for that? And then the user would explain that, oh, I want my contacts smaller because I have a lot of contacts and not all of them have avatars, so it's not really helpful for me to have a big icon and all that. So it gives a lot of, it gives another background that will change the way the designer will tackle the solution. And it's not related to exactly what were you trying to do, because what he was trying to do was to make contacts smaller, but it's related to why he wanted, what motivated him to want to do a certain action. And of course, I had a problem to try to connect to the internet. Why did you want to connect to the internet? I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I wanted to connect to the internet so I could like look for pictures of cats or something like that. I mean, it's not relevant to the designer at all. And it's really hard to make this judgment on when this is pertinent and when it's not. But it's something to keep in the back of your heads when we are reporting bugs. What did you do? And this is about describing the whole thing, describing what happened during the whole interaction. It's great when reports are narrative. You know, every interaction problem is very much like a story. So I wanted to do this, and then I tried this thing, and then that thing happened, and I didn't expect this because I expected this other thing to happen. And then to work around this, I tried to do this other thing, but this didn't work too. So it tells the designer everything that you try to do. And it might seem like a bit exhausting, but when I ran some studies trying to ask people to report things answering this question, most of the time they were able to report things using like two or three lines describing what is it that they did, how they expect the whole interaction works. And yeah, it's really helpful, especially when you mention the things that you try to do to solve a problem. This tells a lot to the designer about how you think and how you actually how what is your experience with software, how you used to do things. And for us, that we do not know exactly what is our user base, this is really helpful. This is really helpful to try to understand for a certain perspective on how the user is. And because it really doesn't make sense. Oh, this is the first field in your bug report. Tell us who you are, what your experience. It's not helpful. So we have to find another way to understand who the user is and what is his experience and how we can better address the problems that he's facing. So, you know, the very story is very helpful. This is what I wanted to do. This is where I started. This is what I did. This is where it all went wrong. And this is how I tried to work around it. And if you will write this, and if you should never be afraid of offering too much information, because if you offer too much information, the designer will just ignore the part of the information that he doesn't need. So it's much better if you provide a lot of information than if you lack information, because then the whole processing of the bug becomes really time consuming. You just have to engage with the reporter and go back and forth and try to make all those questions that I'm stating. And this takes time, and then your bug's going to take longer to be solved and all these kind of things. What happened? Often you may have fairly lengthy interactions with people just trying to understand what is it that they are experiencing. So when you face a problem, describe exactly what is it that happened to you that you found it was a problem, that you think, this is the problem, I have to report this to the community, I have to tell them, and we have to fix it and make software better. And yeah, it's really hard to understand I've read 547 bucks. So it's really hard to understand what people are talking about. It took me a lot of time, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot understand this person at all. I mean, and it was all English, and I was like, I can't understand English. So it's really hard to understand what people are talking about. They mention the top bar, and you don't know where this top bar is, or a certain button that is there has a certain label, and you don't know, and you wonder if you're in the right place, and you cannot find what this person is talking about. So it's really important to be really, really descriptive about what is it that is going wrong, and how do you perceive this, how do you see this in the screen. What were your expectations? This is another really important bit of information, because it tells it as what you did, what were your steps to work around the problem. It also tells you a lot about how a user interacts with software, how this user thinks, what is the experience this user has. So a lot of the feedback I get is, oh, I think X should be Y. And we don't know if that's because the reporter just thinks that's a better idea, or if it's something related to their actual expectations, their users and the experience. So it's really helpful to make this distinction, because it's very different if someone thinks this should be done like this because he had this problem. He's like, how should I do this? And he thinks of it hard and, oh, I guess that would work, that would solve it. And it's different when the user expected something. It's an immediate solution. It's something that is natural, or we can say intuitive, for the user. So it's really important to understand what is it that you expected to happen that didn't happen. So the expectation is usually very revealing. This is where I think the best information comes from the expectations. And the difference between I think X should be Y, and I tried to do X, and I expected Y, but then Z happened, and I wasn't able to accomplish X. That's definitely much more helpful. So I guess this is a good example of the difference on how a more complete report enables a designer to do much more for you than if you actually only say, I think X should be Y, which, as I said, was a very popular quote. And what are you running? This is especially important in our context of free and open source software, since we are always like releasing software quite short intervals and always iterating and always on committing stuff. So it's really important to know what is the version that's been running, so you can actually understand what is it that people are talking about. So a lot of time it's because of the version number that I know what a user is talking about. Because sometimes you report a bug because you're using a certain version, and then in another version this thing doesn't exist anymore, and you're saying, yeah, I have this problem with this thing in that place. And then the designer is using another version and they say, I don't see that thing. And sometimes he'll just click and say, ah, that's been solved, and tell the user it's been solved. But sometimes it's not that easy to understand. So it's really important to say what is the version of the software that you're using. Second part, talk about your experience. As I said, a lot of the bugs that we report nowadays are minor issues. So I'll change the label of this button and reduce the spacing here and there, or make this consistent with something else. And those bugs, please don't get me wrong, they are really, really important. They really make the experience stand out. Usability bugs, they are definitely crucial for the experience. But we should also talk about how we feel when we use software. Because, I mean, we use it every day. If it doesn't make us happy, what is the point? I mean, especially as we deal with software every day, it should be something pleasant. It should be something that it's a joyful experience. So bad user experience is definitely a bug. If something takes a lot of time to do, it is a bug. If it makes you like it's a lot of work, you don't feel safe, you don't feel like confident that this is going somewhere, this is a bug. It's not supposed to be like this. You should be confident that when you do something, it will create this other result, or if you have to send email, you don't want to take 20 minutes sending an email. You want to be a straightforward experience because it's a really simple thing. So those bits of experience, they're really important for software. So usability versus UX. Usable software, so being concerned about usability matters is really important. It's great, but, and as I said, it's also a condition for a good UX, but it's not all. So we should definitely be talking more about our experiences. I'm sure this kind of feedback is most part of the experience feedback is like the so-called it sucks. bug reports. It's like people don't talk. They just say, you can see it's an experience problem. You can see that they are really unhappy using that piece of software, but you don't know why. You just say it sucks. And we get a lot of this feedback. So I guess people want to talk about this, but they don't talk about this properly. So yeah, I think this is important to keep in mind. And three, as I said, write as much as needed. Be specific. Describe what you're seeing, what you're doing, what's your interaction. If something has three or more ways to be done, specify what is the exactly way you try to do it. Be verbose. Don't be afraid to write a lot. If something is not pertinent, the designer will just ignore it. It's better if we provide more information that we are lacking information to work on. Describe what you see, describe what you did, and most important, describe how you felt. It made me frustrated, and don't be an asshole about this. Just say, I felt frustrated. I couldn't do this. It was hard for me. You don't have to offend anyone, because I understand that when you're talking about your experience, it can become quite personal, and you get a lot of anger in your heart, and you have to let it go. But we're trying to work it together and make things better. So describe. Additionally, hit print screen. It's really helpful if people provide screenshots of the problems they experience, and they can point, this is what I'm talking about, this is the bottom I'm talking about, this is the bar I'm talking about, this is the thing. So there's a lot of difficulties in verbal communication, and sometimes we don't really get to understand each other. But if we provide visual aids to our reports, this makes it much, much helpful, much, much easier for the designer's work. And if you guys want to walk the extra miles, and I guess this is not very so related to bug reports itself, but more to feedback to a larger extent, please give praise. It's really, really good if you guys give praise to the design, to the software. If it makes you happy, if it helps you get your things done, if it makes your life better, give praise. Tell people that you like this, that this new feature is awesome. It enables you to do so much more. It's really hard to know when we're doing things right, because we only hear about when we're doing things wrong. And it's almost like no news, it's good news. If you don't hear anything, it's probably working. And it's actually not true, because sometimes people just do not care enough. They're like, I can work around this, I can live with that. And you don't want people to just live with what you did. I mean, it's your work, it's your software, it's something we're building together. We want people to be proud of it and to be happy with it. We don't want them to just live with it. You know, so give praise, tell people when it's working, tell people when they did good. This also helps us know we're going in the right path. Thank you. The computer. Out questions, yeah.
Yeah, I have one question. So because there are only this many designers in GNOME project, most of the front line when it comes to bugs is handled by the developers. And the thing is, if I have given a solution, I can immediately say, this is a UX bug or this is a code bug.
Yeah.
If I know. And I've seen bugs closed, not a bug, because the designer says so.
Yeah.
How can I distinguish that? The code is working. It did what it was supposed to. Should I leave it open? Should I do what?
I guess that's something we really need to... I mean, I guess GNOME has been doing a pretty good job in getting developers and designers to work together. And I think as we get better UX reports, we'll just have to work harder on being close to each other. Because, I mean, you definitely will need, Alan's help to identify this. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure Alan already reads all the reports regardless. So... And you will need to work together with the designers. And as we have a strong community and as we pretty much live in Bugzilla, I think this should not be a problem. I guess it's something we just need to get used to, perhaps. It's something we need to think about as a community. And I definitely don't think some things are... there's a lot of bugs that I'm pretty sure some bugs that you get, you're not sure, is this a code problem or is this a usability problem? And sometimes Alan will get some usability bugs that you're like, I don't know, perhaps this is just a code failure. And a lot of times it is. So I don't think it's a problem that doesn't exist nowadays. It's just a problem that we already have.
Does this work?
Yeah. So like, I guess like a lot of like bug tools today are very freeform, right? You get a subject line and then you get a box where you can write a story if you want to, right? Or you can write poems and letters to your mom and like, or shopping list, basically. There are very few of them. So I know you did very small testing as part of your master's to make an alternative kind of form.
Yeah.
Are you able to tell us anything about that?
Well, I basically tried to see how people would report bugs if they were given those exact questions that I presented to you guys. And yeah, I guess people provided a lot of the only exception was the why do you want to do something question that people got kind of confused with it. And as I said, it's not always pertinent. It doesn't really make sense to ask that. So in general, people, when they were guided, like, this is what I need to know, I feel that people provided much better reports that were much more helpful. But as you said, it's pretty much text. It's very text-centric. And I guess there is a problem that is inherent to this kind of communication, that it's not very, very useful for bug reports. So I guess there's a lot of research that actually observes that. It's not a very useful, very helpful, very easy model to just write text like crazy. So it's something we have to think about. Nobody has come up with a solution on how to solve that text-centric.
I found like one of the nicer things about your form, because I filled it out as well, and my friend and neighbor filled it out, and my friend and neighbor he was saying like, yeah, so I found like several bugs, and I was like, he was kind of hampered, right, because he didn't have anywhere to be angry, because none of the questions were like, what were you doing, like how are you doing it, what do you expect? He couldn't find anywhere to rant in that form at all. So he didn't, of course, right? Which I found hilarious.
I mean, this is my opinion. There's no science to it. But I think when you ask, like, what did you do? How did you feel? And I mean, it's only about you. It gives you a lot of space to be angry about someone else because you're talking about yourself. You're not talking about how some... I mean, bugs are pretty much more or less like, this is, you did something wrong. You did this wrong. And it has a lot of focus on the other, instead of focus on yourself. And as I said, UX is very personal. It's all about you.
So are you going to be rewriting our bug reporting guidelines? Please?
We can work on it, yeah. I would be happy to.
Awesome.
It's really unfair to make this request in public. I was expecting that.
So if I get it right, you probably recommend to have a more structured text fields when reporting bugs. Bugzilla, which is a tool used by GNOME, has a so-called guided bug report form, which is probably not very configured and will look very, very ugly when it comes to the HTML code, which doesn't use any CSS the last time I looked at it, so it's probably from 10 years ago. And GNOME had a custom patch for this one big text field that you normally have to enter your description for new bug reports. And we had something in there like steps to reproduce, 1, 2, 3, expected results, actual results, reproducibility. This patch wasn't reapplied after the last upgrades of Bugzilla from version 2 to 3, and I guess these are all areas that we should consider at some point. So I'm saying this also as a reminder to myself.
Okay. That's really good to know. Thank you, Andrew. All right, thank you, guys. Yeah.